Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is another Liberty from Captivity podcast. I am your host, Kelly Ward. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, 2024. This is episode number 23. And the title of today's show is Practical Self-Deliverance, Part 7, Self-Deliverance Example. Well, we have finally made it to the last podcast episode in this series. But before we go into the self-deliverance example, let's do a recap of the previous podcast for a moment. In episode 22, we went over the documents titled I Am Confessions, 9 R's of Freedom, and Blessing Confessions. I Am Confessions is to help you change the things you say about yourself in light of what God has said about us in the Bible. The purpose of the 9 R's of Freedom is to practice keeping your doors closed. And finally, Blessing Confessions is about blessing our enemies if you find that you get yourself into unforgiveness. You can also use this to bless yourself too. Now, let's get to this example. The way this will work is I will take you step by step and put all of this together for you so you understand how to do this for yourself. You know, the devil has spent years getting you into bondage. He went to a lot of effort to train you in the ways of evil. So undoing all of it and adjusting your life will take time, but it's time well spent. And it may take several sessions, and over time as you grow, you may find out more things later that you need deliverance from. That's certainly been the case in my life. Be prepared to spend about 2 or 3 hours without interruption. The great news is that Jesus paid for your sins, your healing, and your deliverance. While there are things in God's kingdom that are automatic, there are some things that are not, like your salvation, curse breaking, and deliverance, which require you to appropriate what Jesus did for you at the cross. So please prepare by having all the documents available to go through this process. You can download them from my website at libertyfromcaptivity.com. And click on the resources tab at the top. So here on the website, you can just go click here on resources, and they are all here in order. I rearranged them recently to be in alphabetical order, so you can see the first one is 9 R's of Freedom, and you can go download these. If you click on them, it should open in a new tab if they are a PDF. You can also right click on it and select Save Link As, or download. You can save them to your hard drive. I suggest putting these all in the same place. So before you get started, I want to state that if you have very heavy demonic manifestations that prevent you from going through this process, it may be better for you to stop and get help from a trained deliverance minister. There's nothing wrong with admitting that you need help. So let's start out with the self-deliverance guide. So again, you can go to the resources tab and go here to download the self-deliverance guide. Now, I already have one downloaded, so I'm going to open that. I don't plan on going over the details of this document here, as I described them extensively in episode 20. So if you need a refresher, go back and watch. I have also made some edits to this document since I posted episode 20, and it will look a little different now. Right now, it's dated March 19th, 2024, and you can see that in the upper right-hand corner. Anyway, this document will help you to stay organized and help you to identify areas that you need deliverance. So this first section is the pre-self interview. The first step in this guide is to ensure that you are a born-again believer and follower of Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to. I advise against going through the self-deliverance process and seek help from a seasoned Christian who is familiar with deliverance. The same thing goes if you have recently accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not only do you need to accept Jesus and have deliverance, but you need discipleship as well. You need someone to take you through this process and to help you to understand the principles so that you can go through the deliverance process and that you can get trained on how to stay free. So as you go through each one of these, if you have it printed out, you can just mark it, or if you're using the electronic version here in Word, you can just click this box. The next step is to start the session with prayer. Ask Holy Spirit to prepare you and to show you what demons and curses you're dealing with. Declare a command for all demons to be silent. Since you're doing self-deliverance, demonic manifestations may interfere with the process. And I just want to note here, in a deliverance session with a minister, manifestations can be helpful to know what demons you're dealing with. But if you're doing self-deliverance, you obviously don't want them to hinder you in the process. So you can start out with a prayer, and I like to include the verse from Luke 10:19. I absolutely love that, and that's something that I learned as I was going through. That was something that I learned in my time at Deliverance Ministries. I haven't been serving there in quite some time, as I kind of felt like my time there had come to a conclusion. But anyway, you can pray something like this. I thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I thank you for paying for the curses to be broken. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you guide me through this process and show me the sins I need to repent for, the curses I need to break, and the demons I need to cast out. I thank you for providing healing for me, both emotionally and physically. And I declare in Luke 10:19 that I shall tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm me. I command all demons affecting me to be silent, and I forbid you to manifest during this deliverance session. I bind, cage, chain, and muzzle each of you right now in the name of Jesus. I also declare that any demons that come out during this process, and even afterwards, have to go straight into the abyss. There will be no coming back, and there will be no transferring to others. It's one way out only, in Jesus' name. Amen. The next step on the self-deliverance guide is to use the document called Problem List. This will help you to identify where you are having issues. Before completing the problem list, though, review the document called Door Openers. This will give you an indication of common door openers and help you to understand some things to look for. After you have reviewed the door openers, now go through the problem list. If you're using the Word version, you can just highlight them, or if you have it printed out, you can just circle it or check it. So here you can see that I have one filled out. I have them highlighted so that I know which ones I need to work on. And again, this is a 2-page document. So let me go back up to the top here. So as you go through this problem list, listen to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to show you the problem areas you have. Again, circle or highlight each of these problem areas. I also recommend circling or highlighting each item that has an asterisk by it, even if you think it's not a problem. Like, for example, bitterness. And on mine, I have it highlighted yellow because I used yellow to indicate the ones that are by default, in other words, with the asterisk. The reason is that these are so common. Even if you haven't dealt with these, there may be a generational curse that can get you into bondage later. Remember, it doesn't hurt to break a curse that's not there or to cast out a demon that's not there. So you have little to lose, but so much to gain. So as you can see here on my problem list, I've already pre-selected some of these. And of course, the ones that are in yellow are the ones that are considered mandatory as they have the asterisk by them. And just for demonstration purposes, I selected some others that are very commonly seen in ministry. And so in this example, I just selected fear of rejection, guilt. Fear of rejection actually occurs in two different places. It's also over here under the fear group. And I did pornography over here. And then down under on the second page, under perversion, masturbation, incubus, succubus, which are sex demons, and pornography. After you have the problem list filled out, what you want to move on to next is the door closing prayer. So with the door closing prayer, make sure that you take your time with this. I would say give yourself about 20 to 30 minutes. That would be about normal from what I've seen. This door closing prayer is very powerful, and it gives you the opportunity to repent and to forgive others. It makes ministry way easier, whether or not you're doing this on yourself or you're doing ministry on somebody else. It is absolutely amazing. And it's something that I don't see very many deliverance ministries using something like this. And so obviously, as you can see here, this is something that I picked up at my time at Deliverance Ministries. As you go through this door closing prayer, it's about 4 pages. Make sure to allow room for the Holy Spirit to show you what sins you need to repent for and those you need to forgive. If, as you're going through this door closing prayer and you're saying this out loud and you feel led to stop for a moment and repent for something specific that maybe isn't in here or to forgive somebody, do that. Also, not only do you need to forgive others, you need to make sure to forgive yourself too. If you fail to do this, deliverance will not be successful. I've said it before and I'll say it again, and this is something that I learned from Mike Smith from Arizona Deliverance Center. Deliverance is a repentance-based ministry. If you don't repent and you don't forgive, then deliverance is just an exercise in frustration. You're not going to get anywhere with it. The next 3 items on the self-deliverance guide here, in the pre-self interview, these last 3 concern unforgiveness with others, yourself, and God. These are absolutely critical to your deliverance, as I've already mentioned. Not only that, it's absolutely critical for your salvation. The Bible is very clear about how unforgiveness will keep you from going to heaven. If you don't believe me, read Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, and Mark chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. If you have difficulty forgiving, take a moment and ask Jesus to give you the grace to forgive. He absolutely will. I tell people during deliverance that to forgive is a choice, not an emotion. Certainly, emotions are part of it and can be dealt with during inner healing, if need be. But to forgive is to surrender those people to God and what they did to you. Remember, all of us have sinned in some way. None of us deserve forgiveness. But Jesus paid for it all, so make sure you forgive others. Perhaps you've heard it stated that unforgiveness against someone is like drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. So it's helpful to remember that forgiveness is your own antidote to your freedom. Forgiving others doesn't excuse their behavior. That's for God to deal with. But when you truly forgive, you're giving God access to those roots in pain, and He can heal you of that. Sometimes forgiving in and of itself is all you really need. After all that I have said, if you find that you still cannot forgive someone, yourself, or God, you need to stop and not proceed any further with deliverance. Instead, take the necessary time with the Lord and let Him help you. After you have made a decision to forgive, you can come back and resume the process. So the next section in the self-deliverance guide is the self-interview portion. As you can see, these are numbered 1 through 18. This contains a lot of questions with the goal of helping you to identify areas for deliverance. Just like I mentioned previously, if you need details on these, go back and listen to episode 20. As you complete this section, make sure you identify any additional areas on the problem list. Be sure to mark those, and so that's the point. Now, I've already filled this out as for an example purpose. So, for example, number 1 here, use the spaces to the right to document your 3 most tormenting areas. It doesn't have to be long, and so you probably remember from seeing from my example problem list these 3 that are on here. And I put these on here because you can use these 3 here for inner healing. That's why you want to focus on the 3 most tormenting areas. And I'm not going to go through this in great detail, but as you can see here, how is your relationship with your father, your mother, and your siblings? So you can just put just a very, very short explanation and so on. So again, I'm not going to go through this in great detail. Okay, so let's move on to the self-ministry section, and this next subsection is ungodly soul ties. Now for this section, you will need the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties prayer document. If you'll notice here at the bottom, there's a smaller text here that says applies to items 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, and 10 from the self-interview. That's because the things that you put into these sections, you'll want to use to help you to know who you need to break soul ties with. Now, there are some checkboxes in here that you can use. I suggest that 100% of the time that you break ungodly soul ties with your mother and father, even if your relationship was good. The reason is because you want to break any generational curses. You'll also notice spouse and ex-spouses. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can break ungodly soul ties with your spouse, but keep the godly soul tie. Ex-spouse or ex-spouses is a big one to always break soul ties with. The sexual group includes the information from item 9. If you remember their names, I suggest calling them out at the beginning of the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties prayer. And then thereafter, you can refer to them as the sexual group. I've seen this work successfully many times. So if I go to the Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties prayer here, you can see, for example, it says, Jesus, I forgive. And then you can call out their names. You know, anybody that you've had sexual relationship with outside of your marriage, you can name them the first time. And then these blanks here, for example, you can just say, okay, I take the sexual group and any negative or tormenting feelings. And so you can just refer to them that way. But if you do remember their names, I suggest saying them out loud at least once. If you don't, God knows who they are, and it's okay. I've seen it work before. The others box here can be used for people like step-parents, extended family members, co-workers, friends that did you wrong, people in the church that hurt you, sexual abusers like rape and molestation. And I think it's a good idea to separate those from the sexual group because even though it did involve sex, those things are generally very heavy and it was something that was generally done against your will. And so the point is you want to, I would highly suggest breaking those ungodly soul ties with them separately and focus just on those people and especially take advantage of the inner healing step, which is number 5 in the prayer. And that is down here for you to receive some inner healing from that. Okay, so that's something that's very important. And be sure to pay attention to this section down here that says, for soul ties with sexual partners, call on fragmented parts of soul to come out from sexual partners to rejoin their soul and send all soul parts of sexual partners back to them so that they can be made whole. So you can do this very simply by stating something like, in Jesus' name, I command all soul fragments from other partners to rejoin them and all fragments of my soul and other partners to join me so that I can be whole and so that they can be whole in Jesus' name. And so the idea here, if I haven't mentioned it previously in the other podcast, I don't remember which episode it was, maybe it was 20. But the idea here is that when you have sexual relations with anybody that is not your spouse, your souls get joined together. And then you go on to have other relations with other people. And so your soul becomes fragmented. So you want to make sure and state that out loud and make sure that your soul can be made whole. So the next section here is inner healing. If you're unfamiliar with this concept, I suggest going back and listening to episode 9 that I did titled Inner Healing. However, I don't plan to employ the concept that I did in that episode called faith picturing as part of the Practical Self-Deliverance series because I've started to disagree with the practice. I'm considering redoing or editing that episode later as a result, but I think there is another way that you can do it just as easily. So the first step in inner healing involves making sure that you did step 5 from the Breaking Ungodly Soul Tie prayer document. So as you can see here, after breaking each ungodly soul tie, do inner healing, use step 5 from Breaking Ungodly Soul Ties prayer. So again, that comes from this very last step down here. And so you'll want to do that for your mother, your father, spouse, and ex-spouse, sexual group, and others. So those are basically just repeated from here down to here. So the point here is to make sure that you actually did this, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and just... I'm going to go ahead and just check these here. The next item is for the three most tormenting areas that you documented on number one of the self-interview. Additionally, you can also use this for steps 5, 8, 11, 12, and 13. So again, you can see those down here in a smaller print. Here's how this works. Close your eyes and relax and ask Jesus to show you the earliest memory associated with the sin, bondage, event, or negative emotion. Ask Jesus to show you what opened the door. Listen for his voice. He may speak to you. You may get a thought, an impression, or a vision, or whatever way he wants to show you. But the idea is to get to the very root of the issue with whatever he gives you. Once you know what the open door is, repent for any part that you have played. And make sure that you forgive any others that were involved as well. Also, as you think of that event, what you want to do to receive your healing is you put your hands together in front of you as though you were trying to hold water in your hands. Okay, so you put your hands together, you know, very tight in front of you. And what you do is you put into your hands all the hurt, the pain, the tormenting feelings, the unforgiveness, the anger, the offense, etc. And you use as many nouns as you can think of associated with that event, any of those negative emotions that you can think of. And once you can no longer think of any more, you just simply surrender those to Jesus by lifting your hands up above you and letting them go. So let me give you an example. Let's just say that on the three most tormenting areas, I'm going to do rejection. Okay, so rejection is very prevalent in our society, whether through mother or father or both. As you're going through this process and you're sitting there quiet and you're asking the Lord, okay, Lord, what opened the door to rejection in my life? And so you're sitting there, you're quiet, and maybe the Lord shows you that the earliest occurrence of that event, let's say, was like 5 years old, and that your father abandoned you, okay? And that's very common. Okay, now you see that that's the open door. Up until that point, things were okay, then he abandoned you at 5. So you put your hands together in front of you and you say, okay, well, Lord, I forgive my father for abandoning me when I was 5 years old. I put into my hands here the hurt, the pain, the bitterness, the uncertainty, all of the fear, and any other negative emotions you can think of. Just name whatever you feel. Take your time with it. And once you're finished, you just put your hands up in the air and you surrender those to him. So you're lifting those up to him. And the idea of that comes from, I believe it's 1 Peter 5:7 that says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. I think some translation uses anxieties. But in this case, it still works the same. So make sure as you do that, that anybody that did you wrong, that you forgive them. Okay, so that's usually something that is very simple and easy to do. Now, there is another way that you can do this. And let's say that you feel something like maybe in your chest or your stomach area, maybe your head or some other part of your body. It's usually in the stomach area. And as you're thinking about a negative emotion and you feel it very strongly in your body, something that you can do is if you know what the root is and you've tried surrendering that to the Lord, but you still feel like something is there, use your hand and just pretend like you're going to go inside your body and grab that, like say in your chest area. You're going to go in and grab that and you're going to pull that out. And then you're going to hand that up to the Lord. So you pull out that pain, those negative feelings that you feel in there, and surrender those to the Lord. So you can use one or both of those. I've seen both of them work very well. Okay, and the next one here concerns trauma. And this applies to items number 6 and 7 from the self-interview. Trauma may be something that is difficult for some of you to revisit because it's something that is very heavy and deeply rooted. The idea isn't to cause you more pain, but rather to give Jesus the opportunity to heal you of that. Sometimes you have to go back and face something that is very difficult, something that you don't want to, because maybe the demons are making you feel like it's too hard. Believe me, it's not. With Jesus on your side, you always have the opportunity for freedom. You may have to face some difficult emotions with whatever trauma that you face, but what you want to do is make sure to surrender those traumas to Jesus. So you do it the same way as I just mentioned. Ask Jesus to take you back to the very root of that trauma, the beginning of it. The things that somebody did to you, maybe it was rape, child abuse, maybe it was a car accident or something very heavy like that. Maybe you had some trauma because of somebody that you really loved that passed away and you never really got over it. You can treat it all the same way. You just put those negative feelings and emotions in your hands. I've seen people just weep when they're going through inner healing for things. But you put those into your hands, surrender those to the Lord, use your spiritual hand, as I mentioned earlier, and go inside your body and grab those negative emotions and give those to the Lord. And it is amazing how easy this is. And it's amazing to see the transformation by just surrendering these things to Jesus, letting him have access to those areas that have plagued you. Okay, so the next section is an optional section. And I talked about the birth up method. That was something that I believe come from Charles Craft. And I believe I covered that. I think it was in episode 9 that I mentioned earlier. But the idea here is, if you feel led to go back in detail through phases or chunks of time in your life, to go back and try to find some things that maybe are deeply rooted or things that you don't know that are there, you can take the time to do that. So let me just explain this because I think it'll make more sense. Here's how this works. Just like before, get quiet before the Lord and close your eyes. Ask Jesus to show you anything specific that needs to be healed or repented of starting at your birth. Take a few moments, and if you don't sense anything, move on to, let's say, the first year of your life. Lord, show me anything that has happened in my life that I need to be aware of, that I need to repent for, anything that I need to forgive somebody of. Of course, at that age, there may not be anything to repent for, but then as you go through later phases in your life, you'll want to do that. But the point is that you go from birth to, let's say, up until the first year of your life. And then let's say, for example, okay, Lord, show me year 2 through 5. Okay, is there anything that I need to know? Show me, Lord. And you'll probably be surprised at the things that the Lord shows you. Maybe somebody did something to you and you need to forgive them. Maybe somebody did something to you and they caused fear, a fear reaction in you. So obviously forgive them, but also make sure to repent for that fear. And so what you do is you can just go through in chunks of your life, as I said. So I did 2 through 5. Now you can do 6 through 10, 11 to 20, and so on up until your current age. And so the idea is to go over your entire life to see, is there anything that I need to deal with? Sometimes you have to go back to conception and do this exercise. It works very similar. So the idea here is that you start at the point of your conception and you ask the Lord to show you, is there anything I need to know? And to my surprise, the Lord has really showed a lot of people a lot of things about this. For example, maybe they were conceived and maybe one or both of their parents didn't want them. Maybe they didn't want children. You know, children in the womb can sense these things. Maybe it's not something that's in your conscious. It's not something that you think about, but it's still something that's there, that's a part of you, and you don't even realize it. And so you can go in chunks in time. So from conception to 3 months, 3 months to 6 months, and then 6 months to 9 months. So maybe you can go through in trimesters. And I've seen this work where people have said that they sense some kind of a negative emotion from their mother. And so you'll want to make sure and ask God to forgive her for that. You forgive her for that. You break any curses that are involved. And that is something that is amazingly powerful. So if you feel led, you can use this optional method here of birth up. And if you feel like you really need to, you can start at conception. Okay, so make sure and take your time with that. It takes time, but it is time well spent. Okay, we have finally arrived at the deliverance section. For this section, you'll want to use the repentance and deliverance document and the problem list together. As I have stated in one of my earliest episodes, this entire process is like painting your house. A majority of the work should involve all of the preparation to be ready to actually paint. You don't just decide, oh, I'm going to paint my house and go get a can of paint and start applying it. If you're going to do it properly, there is a lot of prep work that goes into it. And so this process is basically the same. It's a lot of preparation. So prepare yourself to exercise your authority over the enemy. You will need to be bold in commanding the demons to leave you. I think the easiest way is to follow my example here. But basically, you can do deliverance by each group. Be prepared for possible demonic manifestations. If you do, command the enemy to be silent in Jesus' name. Also, as you command demons to leave, you may feel the urge to yawn, cough, burp, and maybe even vomit. You might feel the demons or something leaving you. You may feel strange sensations in your body and so on. This is completely normal and I consider it a good sign. So let me show you. So this is the prayer. This is the prayer of repentance and deliverance. Super easy to use. You'll use this for each individual item or group from the problem list. So for example, Father God, I repent and renounce. And it says, name the problem sin. So if I come over here to the problem list, I see here on the very first group, there's bitterness. Father God, I repent and renounce for bitterness, jealousy, and envy. I take responsibility in my generations for all of these sins. I ask for forgiveness and declare that all curses are broken in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over and break the power of the bitterness group. I cast you out and I command that you all go into the abyss in Jesus' mighty name. Okay, and after you say that, you may feel the urge, and I would say it's highly likely that you're going to have to keep saying it. In the name of Jesus, bitterness, come out of me. Come out of my body right now in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, come out of my soul. Come out of my flesh in the name of Jesus. Come out of my brain. Wherever you might feel it in your body, you command that thing to leave, and you stay engaged with it until they leave. Now, sometimes you may not feel anything, and that's okay. But say it at least a few times with your boldness and authority. Once you feel like you have successfully accomplished that, then you can move on to the next group. So, for example, rejection and fear of rejection. So, Father God, I repent and renounce for all rejection and fear of rejection that I have dealt with in my life. I take responsibility in my generations for each of these sins. I ask for forgiveness and declare that all of these curses are broken right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over and break the power of all rejection and fear of rejection. I cast you out of me and I command that you go into the abyss in Jesus' mighty name. Rejection, fear of rejection, come out of my body and soul right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of me. Loose your hold on me right now in the name of Jesus. Just like that. You don't have to yell at them, but still be bold, okay? That's very important. And so after you have gone through everything here on the problem list, you have accomplished a lot. You have no doubt probably feel a lot better. You probably feel more free. A lot of people I've dealt with in deliverance have reported that they feel lighter. That's a good thing. So take that as a good sign. So the next section that we want to deal with, so we have a little bit more to go here, is the physical, mental, and emotional healing section. So this applies to number 16 from the self-interview. After you have repented, forgiven others and yourself, and cast out the demons, this healing step becomes much easier. So many of our illnesses and ailments are demonic in nature. Not all of them, though, but many of them are. But the process is regardless still the same. So here's how this works. Whatever you need healing for, you speak to it and command it and declare it. For example, let's say that you have back pain. If you can, place your hand on your back and say out loud, "Back pain, go in Jesus' name. I command all muscles, ligaments, tendons, and vertebrae to come into alignment in the name of Jesus. Back adjust in Jesus' mighty name." Or it could be something like high blood pressure. You can say, "In Jesus' name, I command high blood pressure to go. I declare that I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. That means that I was healed of high blood pressure. Blood pressure returned to normal levels in Jesus' name." And so you just speak to that thing, wherever that is in your body. Maybe it's knee pain. Maybe it's some kind of a disease that you were diagnosed with. Whatever it is, you speak to it. Just like Jesus used his words to cast out demons, just like he used words to curse the fig tree, so we use our words to speak and declare life and healing over our bodies. And so you use that for any of those physical, mental, and emotional needs. All right, we're almost finished here. Now we're in the miscellaneous section. The first item here is to pray and ask God to activate your God-given gifts. It's fairly self-explanatory. So you can say something like, for example, "God, I ask that you would activate and fan the flames on the God-given gifts that you have given me. I ask, Lord, that you would activate those, that you would empower me, that you would give me the grace to live the life that I was supposed to live for you so that I can serve you and others for the rest of my life." Just whatever you feel led to say. Doesn't have to be complicated. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you would like to, you can download a copy of the prayer from my website. It's a short, simple prayer that I know works. There are many ministers and pastors who may ask something like, "Would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues?" I think this comes from the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples as they were gathered together and they all spoke in tongues. I do believe that speaking in tongues is one of the easiest gifts to receive. And while I can't absolutely prove it here, I definitely believe it's possible to get other Holy Spirit gifts with this prayer as well. So this prayer is very simple. It's credited to Derek Prince. I used this on someone, I think it was sometime last year, and he got the gift of speaking in tongues and he was able to speak in an unknown language. So this is very powerful. You just pray this over yourself and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Receive whatever gifts that God wants to give you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you can't speak in tongues, it's something that's very easy to receive. I know that when I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a church that I was going to when I was living in Alabama, the gentleman was praying over me. I didn't begin speaking in tongues right away. I think I had a block because I was thinking about it too much. And I was overanalyzing it. And so over the next few weeks after that experience, I would just get quiet before the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know if I'm supposed to speak or if this is automatic or whatever. I don't know how to do this." And so for me, it very much started out kind of like a baby. I was speaking in, you know, simple syllables, and then it started to kind of come together as I gained my confidence in knowing that I was giving utterance and it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. It became a little bit easier. After you go through this prayer, just start moving your lips, okay? Try not to speak in your native language. Try not to speak in English. But you just start giving utterance to it. And it may help sometimes to hear other people speak in tongues. And as I have prayed it over others, it has encouraged them to do it. So basically, just start speaking. Just mama makato shokopa, nanakato shokopa kata sakotobo kiata kata shaganamako. And you just let it flow. Just absolutely just. Now, you might think that, "Oh, well, this is just me speaking." Holy Spirit isn't just going to just make you do something that you don't want to do. Remember, he's a gentleman. He operates on the basis of free will. As you give the utterance, as you give that over to him, as you cooperate with him, it will start to flow And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Some people get it just like that, and they start speaking in an unknown language. And others, like me, it took a little bit of time, much like a baby learning to talk, and they grow up and then they can speak a language. So the next item here concerns a prayer to renew your mind. Very simple. You just pray this out loud. And the idea here is that this is the start of your journey to receive healing in your mind and to learn how to think more like Jesus, to learn how to say things differently. Okay, and then the next step here concerns these four documents. These are hyperlinked to go to the website to download them. You're going to use these four documents to change your walk, to change the way you think, to change the things that you say, to change the way that you react. Most importantly, if you put these into practice, you will remain free. Deliverance is both instant and progressive, meaning that it's not just a one-time event. It's something to be maintained, as you will need to keep the door shut. These documents will absolutely help you. And if you want, again, if you want to go back and know more about these, go back to the earlier episodes in this series where I cover these so that you can understand them more in detail. But make sure and put these into practice. As soon as you have finished the deliverance process, read through these in detail, apply them, and stay diligent and use these every day. And then eventually it'll become easier to where you don't have to rely on the documents. It'll just become second nature. I think it has been said that it takes 21 days to start a habit. In this case, you want to start a good habit. So I suggest doing this every day with the documents that you have in your prayer time. And last, if you are not attending a church, you need to be. You need to learn about God through sermons, forming relationships with other Christians, and being discipled and worshiping the Lord. This is very important. Regardless of whether or not they do deliverance in your church, it doesn't matter. The truth is, you know that deliverance is real. Jesus has delivered you if you've gone through this process and you've done all the steps and you've allowed him to show you who you need to forgive and what you need to repent for. You've been delivered of some things. So now what you need to do is grow in the sanctification process. And you do that by learning from other people, learning sermons, being part of a church, being part of a ministry, and so on. You need to be discipled. That is absolutely important in your walk. Okay, well, that's it. We have finally completed this episode and the Practical Self-Deliverance series. So just to wrap up, I went over the entire process using multiple documents to help yourself in deliverance. This is a great way for you to learn deliverance. It's how I learned years ago. After you have completed this, I would expect that you would feel lighter, freer, have more joy, be happier, etc. Your countenance probably will also be different as well. I remember a gentleman that I ministered to. He came in and he looked down and dejected, but after I ministered to him, he was upright. He had a smile on his face. He looked like a completely different guy. It was absolutely amazing to see what Jesus and Holy Spirit did with him. And that's because he got a Holy Spirit makeover, and you can too. Jesus absolutely loves to help people get set free. So be sure to give him the glory. Now that you are familiar with deliverance, you can be prepared to help others with this. I may start a series soon on how to minister to others. It'll be based on documents like this, and the process will be very similar. But the idea is, if you read the account of the Great Commission as recorded by Mark at the end of Mark, I believe it's Mark chapter 16, you'll see that casting out of demons is part of the Great Commission. So it's part of your process now, and then you can help others to get set free by using these. So if you have any questions or comments, and no doubt you probably do, you can post them on libertyfromcaptivity.com in the blog section, and I'll be happy to respond to those. Or if you want to contact me directly, send me an email at kelly@libertyfromcaptivity.com. Thank you for listening and watching. Have a great rest of the week and weekend, and God bless you.
keeps falling and wonder where he is in all this mess. He's right there to guide you, unseen, you're not alone. His light shines on the past that we're not shown. Give me shelter, Lord, from this storm. As it poured, you made it cure. In an overcrowded mind, the hurt it brings us down to where we reach for Him. Our God above has hands to heal, saves us from our faults and fears, giving us the peace that we so desperately need.